Welcome everyone to Ascend Live. All right, welcome, welcome everyone. Justin Bader here. Leave me a comment, let me know if you can see me, let me know that we are live. Today, we are talking about using templates for your resume or cover letter. Been getting a few questions about this, and we've been working on some templates for our members to help you with your resume and cover letter. And as I was looking at some of the available templates that are out there, seeing what's being offered to people, I wanted to share a few insights and share some advice because I thought it would be helpful as you work on your resume and cover letter. So leave me a comment. If you're here, just say hi. Just leave me an emoji, anything that will let me know that that you are here. Here is our essential question for today. How can I make good use of templates for my resume and cover letter? See, the thing is, you don't have to start from scratch, right? There are lots of great templates out there that can save you time, that can make your application materials look nicer, but it's not always a slam dunk to use a given template. Some templates make things worse, other templates make things better, and it's important to be able to sort through the different options and things that are out there. And I love this this quote from Bill Gates many, many years ago when Microsoft partnered with NBC to create MSNBC, the cable news channel and what was once a website and all that. Bill Gates said, content is king. And I think he's absolutely right about that. Content is king. And what Gates meant by that is that it's not just about having technology. You actually have to have content in order to attract people, to make money as a business and so on. And when it comes to your resume and cover letter, it's not about having just the prettiest template. So hear me on this. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of talking about templates for your resume and cover letter, hear me on this. Your template will not make or break you, except in very extreme cases, like if something is just terribly bad, it could break you. But having a good template will not tip you over from being almost good enough to being a good enough candidate to get an interview. Like, it's really not the kind of thing that's going to make the biggest difference. So you want to have a good template. You want your resume and cover letter to look nice, but if you've been sending in lots of resumes and cover letters that just look normal, that just look plain and professional and businesslike, that is totally fine. And I will tell you, full disclosure here, right at the beginning, I did not use any kind of fancy template at all when I was applying for jobs. I did not use anything. I mean, I probably used some sort of template that was maybe built in, but it was very simple. There were no graphics, there were no shapes, just very, very simple resume and cover letter format. And that's because content is king. That's really all you need is a simple template. But there are some opportunities here to make things look nice and to kind of save you some time. So content is king. You will get the interview, you will move on in the hiring process because of content, what your resume and cover letter actually say about you and your accomplishments and your professional experience, not the design. It's not about the design. But, and here's where I'm gonna have some tips for you in this episode, extremely poor design or extremely flashy design can be a distraction, and we want to avoid those distractions. So you can, of course, go with extremely plain, like I did, or you can use a template. Why would you want to use a template? Because you are not a graphic designer. Unless you're a graphic designer, you're not a graphic designer. You're good at other things. Do the things that you are good at and allow the people who are good at designing resume templates to do that, and you can build on their work. But here is the thing about templates designed by professionals. They're not professional educators, they're professional graphic designers, and often the kinds of templates they design are for the kinds of jobs that those people would be looking for, not the kind of job that you are looking for. So, does that make sense? Let me know if that is making sense so far. I pulled up one that I found just on a Google search, and if you Google resume template, it's incredible how many things are available out there. I found this one for $17. I didn't buy it because there are some things I don't like about it, and I don't need one right now, but I will be making some templates available to our members very soon, so stay tuned for that. But a couple of things that you notice about this resume template. One, it's really nice looking, right? This is a great looking template. It looks much better than my resume ever did. But there are some things on here that might not necessarily need to be on a school leader's resume. And specifically, I do not want you to put your photo. You do not need to have your photo on your resume. I saw some discussions about this recently. in a principal Facebook group, and the consensus was overwhelming. You do not need to put your photo. You also do not need to put a section of skills. There might be some sections on like software that you're proficient with. And, you know, this one has the skills of, this is just a template, right? This is not an actual resume, but decision-making, ability to work under pressure. Like, don't put that kind of stuff on your resume because there's no evidence behind it, right? Everything that goes on your resume, you want to support with evidence. You want to make strong claims and support them with strong evidence. And that is not what little sections like skills and things like that do. So when you get a template, make sure that it is not built around having a giant photo of yourself, right? That is not the point. If you delete the photo, but the whole resume is kind of designed around the photo, it's not gonna work. So find one that doesn't really depend on a big photo of yourself. And if it has a little space for a photo, delete that and move things around as you need to. If there is a profile section, again, a profile section tends to be filled with unsupported claims. So take those claims out and replace your profile section with a professional objective, like what job you're looking for. We talked about that last time on Ascend Live. If there is a skills section, you don't need that. If there's an interests and hobbies section, like please don't tell people all of your personal interests and hobbies. Like they don't need to know that, they don't care. So just leave that information out. I wanna talk a little bit about photos here because there was some kind of debate about this, and people were puzzled as to why they wouldn't include photos. And if you see some of the resume templates that are out there, they look really good with a photo. And you might think, well, I just had professional photos taken. We had an opportunity with a photographer, and it was great. I've got this great headshot. Why don't I use that? And here is the thing. Let me know what you think about this. Leave a comment if you're tuning in live, and let me know what you think about this. But I think the reality with photos on educator resumes is it's just not done. And because it's not done, it's considered inappropriate to include your photo. And I want to shed a little bit of light on why that is. It's not just that it's not done. It kind of creates the feeling that if you're including your photo, you're including it for some sort of nefarious reason, right? Like you're expecting to get hired on the basis of your gender or age or race, or that you're expecting the hiring decision to be made on some basis like that, and your photo is kind of like your secret password to get the job on that illegitimate basis. So photos are a little bit suspect when it comes to resumes and cover letters. Don't include your photo. You're not a realtor. You're not a salesperson. You're an educator. You don't need a photo. Please leave it off. Hope that makes sense. We already talked a little bit about unsupported claims. You want to make sure that you're making strong claims and supporting them with specific accomplishments. And the place to do that is not in a profile or overview or skills section. The place to do that is in your main list of professional experience. Job by job, start with your most recent job, go into great detail on your biggest accomplishments, then move on to your previous job before that. Give 4 to 7 bullets for each job and be very specific about your accomplishments. That is where you are providing the bulk of the evidence for your case that you deserve an interview, right? That's what your resume is doing. It's making the argument that you deserve an interview. And the heavy evidence comes in the experience section. You don't want to pull out little things and turn them into one-word claims like collaborative. You know, being collaborative is great, but just saying you're collaborative in your resume is very weak because it's lacking in evidence. So say what you did that was collaborative. Say what the impact was. Give that specific experience in your work history section, and that will be much, much stronger. Let's talk now about a couple of kinds of templates to avoid, because you have lots of options out there. There are tons of places, hundreds of different places where you can buy templates online. You want to avoid anything that is built around a photo, right? If the photo is too prominent, you could delete the photo, but then stuff's going to look all unbalanced. So you want to avoid templates that are built around a photo. You want to avoid things that are too flashy, that have big graphical elements that waste a lot of space. See, when you're writing your resume and cover letter, you need to make good use of every inch of space that you've been given. So do not waste a lot of space with blocks and graphics and little things like that. You want to make good use of your space. And you want to use a template that's business-like. You want to use something that's professional and clean enough that it's appropriate for education and not clearly designed for another industry. And like I said, often graphic designers are making pretty resumes so that they can get graphic design jobs, and the kinds of stuff they come up with is just not appropriate for educators. So if you see templates like this, I Googled, you know, resume template and found all kinds of different things. So these are just some examples that I found. I'm sure you could buy all these for $10 or $20. and they're very eye-catching, right? Like none of the, well, I don't know, maybe some of them are ugly. They're very eye-catching. They're very professionally done. It's just the wrong profession, right? You're not applying to be a graphic designer. You're not applying to be any kind of creative professional. And of course you want to be a creative leader, but the resume needs to be much more businesslike than these. Also, I want you to notice how much space is wasted on these with those graphical elements and putting things at angles. You really need to use every inch of your space. So keep it simpler than this, keep it more businesslike. On the other end of the spectrum, I didn't think I had to say this, but I will say from what I found online, I do need to say this. If you are an elementary person, if you have an early childhood background, please do not include early childhood style designs in your leadership application materials. Just don't do it. Be businesslike. So if you see templates like this, there are lots of nice elementary teacher resume templates that just feel very elementary that might, I don't know, people just like this kind of stuff. I personally don't like this stuff, but definitely for any kind of leadership role, do not make your resume cutesy. It does not make you seem like a good fit for elementary. It makes it seem like you don't understand that you'll be working with adults. So get a kind of a business-like template, keep it kind of clean, and that's going to also have the side effect of maximizing the space available for you to provide evidence that they should hire you. Let's talk a little bit about templates and recommendation letters. Now, typically, you're gonna find more templates for resumes. Recommendation letters can be a little plainer, but if you're doing a template, you know, you might as well use the same template for both your resume and your cover letter, let's talk about recommendation letters, though. You don't want to have your recommendation letters that other people wrote about you on a template. Like you don't want to buy a template and then send it out to all your references and say, hey, please write me a recommendation letter on this template, because that's going to look too like you stage manage the whole thing. That's just going to look too contrived. So let everybody use their own format. They can use letterhead from, you know, the school or the institution. That's totally fine, but let them look different. Please do not try to make your recommendation letters look all the same. For your cover letter, again, you can use the same template as your resume. Just be careful that you're not wasting too much space. You don't want a ton of space to be devoted to graphical elements or things other than evidence that you deserve the interview. Now, let's talk a little bit about something that may not be on your radar at all, and that is paper size. Once you start shopping for resume and cover letter templates, you'll realize that there are actually two common styles or sizes of paper that are used around the world. In the United States, we almost exclusively use letter size paper, but in the rest of the world, it's a metric system thing. In the rest of the world, the type of paper that resumes are printed on is called A4. And A4 is not 8.5 by 11. It's close enough that you might miss the fact that it's a little bit different. That's why I wanted to highlight this. A4 paper is 8.25 by 11.75. So it's just about 1/4 of an inch narrower and about 3/4 of an inch longer. And that is enough to make a big difference. For example, I took a screenshot of a template that I was looking at today, and clearly what has happened here, I got the letter version of it. Clearly what has happened here, you can see there's stuff cut off in this column box. It says institution, organization, and year here. And that kind of toward the top there, that is a box that has been shrunk down because the whole page has been shrunk down. And then the two arrows at the bottom, that's actually the very bottom of the page. I didn't crop off the margin. There was no margin. So what happened with this template was that somebody took an A4 template and just shrunk it to 8.5 by 11 and didn't adjust all the elements on the page, so stuff gets cut off. So be very mindful that there are two different sizes of paper in the world, and you wanna make sure that you're designing your resume for the right one. Most of the world uses A4. If you're applying in the international world, I don't know what to tell you, but you know, in the United States, definitely make sure you're using 8.5 by 11. If you're applying in Canada or other countries, I would probably use A4 and just be aware of that difference. Most templates are available in both, but again, they don't always really do a good job of converting between them. So you want to check spacing and things like that. It's not going to work just to change the size in Microsoft Word. You actually have to move things around and make sure it all fits and watch out for cutoff text. Now, you don't want to actually send in your Microsoft Word or Google file for your resume. You want to, of course, send in your resume and cover letter in PDF format. PDF format is going to accomplish a number of things. First, it's going to make sure that the fonts you used show up correctly for the reader. Now, the PDF format actually embeds all of the characters in the correct font in the file. So even if someone does not have a particular font on their computer, if they're opening a PDF file, they're going to see it in that font. And that's kind of the magic. That's why PDFs are so great, because you don't have to have all these crazy fonts. And you know, not everybody has the fonts that you might choose to use in your resume and cover letter. If you save as a PDF, that is no longer a problem. The second thing that PDF does is that it ensures that nothing moves, right? I've seen this happen so many times where the font size is different or if a font is substituted and then everything moves and stuff is just weird. Like there's only one line on a page and then there's a blank page. Like you don't want to mess with any of that stuff. The third thing that happens is that any changes that you've made with track changes or comments or revision history or anything like that, that would be saved in a Word file and could be really embarrassing if somebody, you know, sees your track changes and your comments from your mom and all that stuff. All that gets stripped out and they just get the file as you want them to see it. So please save as a PDF. Do not send in a Microsoft Word document with a job application. If you do, it's going to be weird. It's going to surprise the reader. They're going to be opening PDF files all day long and then they're going to get to your Microsoft Word file and be like, what is this? This is weird. So don't be weird. Don't do that. You want to use a PDF. All right. That is what I have for you today. I wanted to keep this to the point. If you are looking for templates, keep those things in mind. Keep it clean, businesslike, professional. Don't use a template that's obviously designed by a graphic designer trying to get a graphic design job. Get something that's more for our profession. Don't include your photo, things like that. Now, we will have much more on the Ed Leadership job search in the coming weeks. We are officially kicking off hiring season. Now, hiring is going on right now. For the last couple of weeks, I've had a client email me or text me every week saying, hey, I have an interview coming up this week. I just had someone today say that they have an interview day after tomorrow. So hiring is happening right now. But for most people, the real hiring is going to begin in January and really pick up in, you know, late January, February, March. But that is not when we start preparing, my friend. At the Principal Center, we start well in advance. We have never quit preparing, and we are officially going to kick off the new hiring season on Black Friday. And that comes out to November 26th, 2021, the day after American Thanksgiving. What we're going to do, I'll keep you posted with details about times and where to register and things like that, but we're going to do our traditional Black Friday interview and application and just kind of the whole shebang, the whole process of preparing for and landing your next Ed Leadership job. So stay tuned for that. I'm very excited about that. That will be the most in-depth training of the year, and I do it to get out of going shopping or anything like that. So I will be busy all morning with that webinar, and so will you. Plan to be there. Plan not to go. Please don't go shopping on Black Friday. Who wants to do that? Save the poor people in the stores the further overcrowding, and put in some time. What this is really about is putting in time, making yourself more competitive in the hiring process, because this is an intensely competitive process. But a lot of people go into it thinking that it was like however they got their last job, right? I got my first teaching job over the phone, fresh out of college, didn't even interview in person, didn't even have my certificate yet. I just graduated with a science degree, a school in another state, interviewed me over the phone, offered me a job on the spot, and that was easy, right? When I became a principal, it was a much harder slog. It was a long process to apply for lots of jobs, to revise my materials, to do lots of practice. And I want you to understand what you're getting into. I want you to be prepared to put in that work. And part of it is simply starting early enough and putting in the time. So we are not going to wait until January 1st. We are not going to wait until you see a job posted to start preparing materials or start revising materials. The time to begin is as soon as possible. Last year would have been great. Right now is even better. And we're going to officially kick things off on Black Friday. So I will see you then. Keep an eye on your email for the dates. If you are a member, a couple of things I want to make sure you know about that you can be working on right now. Our Repertoire Content Creator app, which we massively upgraded this summer, has a tool in it for writing admin cover letters. Now, I've written the mother of all cover letter templates. It's completely drag and drop. It has custom fields, so you fill in your name and the kind of job you're applying for and where you work. And there are thousands and thousands of possibilities just if you use the default options. And of course, you can add your own language to that as well. But the cover letter generator is a very powerful tool that's available for you in Repertoire Content Creator. We have not in the past offered templates as to, you know, to paste that into. So the Repertoire Content Creator is designed to give you the text for your cover letter in that template. But what it will actually do is let you copy and paste. I'm going to see if I can actually pull this up and show you here. Let's see. I will pull up here. We've actually got, this will work here. We've actually got tons of templates in here for all kinds of different writing. It's not just for cover letters, but the cover letter feature is really incredible. We've got lots of different writing situations that you can use these templates for. And many of these have been used this year. Let's see. Cover letter generator. Here we go. So the cover letter generator spreadsheet, what this will do is it will load all of these phrases here. These are drag and drop, and each of them has multiple options that you can choose from. So if you wanna change developed to obtained or whatever, if you wanna change an accomplishment, we've got lots of structures there for that. All of these variables here are customizable. So what you can do here is you scroll down to click Edit Fields, and you fill in all of your information here. What role are you applying for? What school are you applying to? District, years of experience, current role, and so on and so on. And all of that data, plus your personal information here that pulls in from your account, all of that data gets pulled in to your cover letter. And then you copy it to the clipboard, paste it into a template, and you are good to go. So if you have been struggling to write a cover letter, if you're a member, you've got access to that already. Let us know if you need your account set up. Not everybody has started using Repertoire, and our team can get you set up. And that will be a wonderful head start on the writing process. Like if I had to write, like I've never offered the service of writing cover letters for people. I think you should write your own cover letter. But starting with these templates is going to just make them so much stronger because the argument structure is built in. So again, if you're an Instructional Leadership Association member, you've got that already. If you are not a member, you can grab the Ascend application bundle. And I think it's $19 to start. It starts you on a trial of the membership. You can check out all of those trainings that we have on the hiring process. If you are already a member, you can find that in your member dashboard. There's an icon for Ascend application bundle. And of course, you have access to the Repertoire app. Let us know if you need help with that. Mark your calendar for Black Friday, and I will see you soon. I'm Justin Bader, and this has been Ascend Live. Take care.